let me carry on with the business at hand right now, okay? Because there's nothing more precious than being able to keep your word and to remember that you've kept the promise. I received a humorous story through the email this week, and I just thought I'd pass it along to you this morning, kind of get us off on the right foot. You know where we're going. There was a group of 40-year-old ladies, and they would meet, and they would discuss where they were going to go for dinner. Finally, they agreed that they would go to the Ocean View restaurant because the waiters there are young, and they have really great bodies. 10 years later, at age 50, the group once again discusses, and they discuss vigorously where they should meet for dinner. Finally, it's agreed once again that they would meet at the Ocean View restaurant because the food is good, very good, and the wine selection is good also. 10 years later, now at age 60, the group once again discusses where they should go for dinner. And finally, they agree to go to the Ocean View restaurant because they can eat there in peace and quiet, and the restaurant has a beautiful view of the ocean. They are now 70 years old. They're meeting once again to discuss where they should eat and meet for dinner. Once again, they agree that they should meet at the Ocean View restaurant because the restaurant is wheelchair accessible, and they even have an elevator. Well, these ladies have survived to the age of 80, and they're once again discussing where they should go to have dinner and meet for dinner. Finally, they agree to meet at the Ocean View restaurant because they've never been there before. Isn't that good stuff? That's good stuff. I thought that was too good. I laughed out loud when I read that. But it's important to remember the promises that you've made and what you've done and what you've committed yourself to do. And there's no better psalm to express that than Psalm 136. All of the songs that we sang today really revolved around one theme, and that is God's never-ending love. His love endures forever. When we sang that first song, I know that some of you were a little resistant in your spirit because you said, there he goes, just repeating that phrase over and over and over again. Too much repetition, his love endures forever, his love endures forever. All right, I know his love endures forever. But have you opened up the verse to Psalm 136? It has 28 verses to it. How does each verse end? His love endures forever. This was a song, and you say, well, things have sure changed. No, they haven't. This is a song that was sung by those entering Solomon's temple, probably on a very regular basis. And they would remind themselves of what God had done on their account. So let's see what God has done and how his mercies endures forever. First of all, we have three verses that express the Godhead, and it says this: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. The psalm really starts with a confession of thanks, for that's what the word thanks means. Thanks is directed to the one who deserves thanks, Jehovah God. It's the name of the one whom Bible scribes were even out of reverence afraid to write the name in its entirety. They never wrote the vowel soundings to it, never completed the word, but everyone knew what those markings were in the Hebrew. You see, we give thanks to our parents, we give thanks to others, we even give thanks to total strangers who extend to us a kindness or courtesy. Is it not also fitting that we give thanks to the one who's given us everything today that we have? Everything that we enjoy? We give thanks to him because he's good. Essentially, God is goodness himself. It is practically all that he is. He is good. He is good beyond all others. Relatively, he is good to his creatures, for he deserves the constant gratitude of people, for his mercy endures forever. And we're going to see this at the refrain of each of the verses of this song. And what a joy that there is mercy, enduring mercy, never-ending mercy. I mean, isn't that what you pray for? Lord God, have mercy on me. We need it. We pray for it. Therefore, should we not just sing about it? That's what the song is all about. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks, for he is God of gods. His mercy endures forever. Of all the principalities and the powers and angels and spirit beings that there may be in the heavenly realms that might be worthy of the name God, our God is God of them all. They only rule by his permission and by God's will. They don't compare to him, but they must answer to him. If the lost give glory to their God, and they do, NASCAR will race today. And they will give glory to their God. A trophy at the end. Did you see the Super Bowl last week? The wrong team won, but did you see the Super Bowl? That guy's here today, isn't he, that wore the shirt? There you are. I remember you. I said, don't ever come back here again, and sure enough, here you are. Yeah, I'm glad you take me at my word. That's good. I'm glad you're here. Thank you, man, for being here. I thought I saw him here this morning. Good. You know, did you see when they held the Lombardi trophy up? Almost every player wanted to do what? Touch it. Kiss it. They were kissing the trophy. If they pay homage to their God, if they acknowledge him, should we not acknowledge our God as well? Does that not make sense that we would confess with our mouth our love and thankfulness to God, whose mercies are fresh every day because his mercy endures forever? The next verse says this, give thanks to the Lord of Lords. Why? His mercy endures forever. Say it with me. His mercy endures forever. You may have other translations that say his love, but for this exercise, I want you to participate with me. His mercy endures forever. You know, there are many people that may demand our respect, who carry the title of dignitary or king or president or prime minister. Yet all of those people must bow down before the Lord of Lords. The Lord is sovereign over them all. In fact, their ability to rule and to make decisions is in the hand of the Almighty. They don't do anything without the permission of the King of Kings. The Bible says that the heart of the king is in his hand. Therefore, give thanks to the Lord of Lords. I'm amazed how quickly we want to gravitate to those celebrities or stars. We want to go meet them. We want to touch them. We want to be with them. And you say, well, I'm not so much starstruck by the Hollywood people. I know that. You know, some of you are. Some of you would love to see Brad Pitt. Some of you would like to do that. Some of you would love to see some other attractive young lady or man to come through here who happened to be a star and say, can I get his autograph? And you say, well, that's for the Hollywood. What if Henry Blackaby came here? What if Billy Graham came here? What if Ann Graham Lotz came here? What if Beth Moore came here? Well, yeah, see, now we're talking. Yeah, now we're talking to the ladies, okay? If Beth Moore came, wouldn't you want to be here? In fact, we wouldn't have to rope off anything in the front row. The front row would be crowded. The losers would be the late ones to come in. They'd have to sit in the back. Right now they come in early so they can sit in the back and everyone else is up here. We have six verses then that are dedicated to the Creator. The next verse, to him who alone does great wonders. His mercy endures forever. That was pretty weak. Okay? Come on, we can do better than that, can't we? To him who does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. God is the original wonder maker. From the largest of the solar system to the smallest of particles, visible, invisible, seen, unseen. I mean, where was man when God laid the foundations of the earth? Who was his counsel? Who keeps the earth in its orbit and prevents it from going out of its orbit and the planets from colliding with each other? What other creature can create something from nothing? Who can unlock the secrets of science or unmask the mysteries of mankind? You see, there are a lot of things in life that puzzle us. There was a man who was married for many years, but he was an avid golfer. And he says his one prayer was, Lord, I would sure love to golf in every state of the United States. And he prayed that. And you know, God was faithful to answer his prayer except for one state, Hawaii. He couldn't golf in Hawaii because it was too far away. You couldn't drive. See, he didn't like boats. It just took too long. Didn't like planes. They were not safe in his estimation. So he prayed. And I said, Lord, if you could, I'd sure love to golf some of the courses in Hawaii. They would be so great. He says, but it would be great if you could. And the Lord said, all right, I'll let you do that. And he said, what do you want me to do? And he said, Lord, if you could just build a road from California to Hawaii, that would just be the greatest thing in the whole world. And the Lord said, really, you don't understand what you're asking me. A road is just impossible. The ocean is too deep. And you can't get there on one tank of gas. I mean, everything, you just don't understand the difficulty there is of building something of that magnitude from the United States to Hawaii. Is there anything else I can do for you? The Lord said. And the man said, yes. Help me to understand my wife. And the Lord said, how many lanes on that road would you like? There are things in this life that we just don't understand. I don't know that men will ever fully understand women, and I don't think women will ever fully understand man, but I do know there's someone who understands us both very perfectly, and that is God himself. He made us. He created us. In fact, he enjoys us. Who can understand the wonders of God's mercy? They're new and fresh every morning. And it says this, because of the Lord's great mercy or love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. Is it any wonder that we sang, great is your faithfulness today? Because I want us to hear this morning again and again God's faithfulness to us. The next verse. Who by his understanding made the heavens, and the congregation said, thank you. God set in motion the earth, the water, the atmosphere in which human life could exist. Our lives depend upon a very stable atmosphere for all forms of life, plant, animal, human, aquatic, all in their life source from God, whose mercy endures forever. Verse next, to him who stretched out the earth above the waters. Who would have ever thought to construct a planet like ours? I just find it so unimaginable that this just could have happened. That it just popped into existence because some who knows what exploded. And then I want to find out, where did that first thing that exploded come from? Who made it? How did it get going? In fact, there is a documentary done by Ben Stein where some of the great evolutionists today even kind of admit that the earth may have been seeded by some form. Ben Stein says, do you now mean that aliens planted these things? Where'd they come from? They just cannot explain the very beginnings of beginning. It takes a whole lot more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in God. I believe in God. He said it, boom, that settled it. It was there. Formless and void, it says in Genesis, which means there's no shape and form, and God just kind of wrapped this all together, and he made an earth of water and land, three quarters water, one quarter land. For some of you anglers out there, that means we had to fish three times more than we work. I agree, okay? But to sustain that, to him who made great lights, what's it say? His mercy endures forever. Aren't you grateful we have light today? Light is what gives you energy. It gives you life. Aren't you grateful that God has not allowed us just to walk around in darkness all the time? That he's provided a light. And when you see the sun come up every morning, please realize that too is a mercy of God. God did not have to let the sun come up this morning, but he did. This whole earth consists because of our Savior, who is merciful to us. So he's created the great lights. He has created the sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. Are you getting tired of saying that yet? I hope not. Because if ever there is a people that ought to thank God for his mercy, it is us. The sun is the great ruler. It benefits the planet by giving life to all that it reaches. It's not too hot. It's not too cool. It's too cool. Don't you think it's too cold? Too cold in Florida. It's not too hot. It's not too cold that mankind cannot bear the extremes of it. Each day it shines. It's a testimony to God's mercy that he's shown us. The next verse says, the moon and the stars to rule by night. It says, his mercy endureth forever. You ever stop to think about this? Even darkness really isn't dark. The moon reflects the brilliance of the sun, and the stars accenting the backdrops. Stars give navigational support. The moon is seasonal rendering. Who can count the number of stars in the sky? Yet the Lord knows each one by name. As the moon reflects the glory of the sun, we should reflect the glory of our God. God's mercy is great in that he shows us that when things seem to be so dark in our life, he's not forgotten us. He gives us those glimmers of hope to withstand even the greatest testing. Are you going through a testing this morning? And here's what I want you to do. I want you to remember the testings of your past. I want you to remember what God has already brought you through. And those are the lights that shine brightly in your background, in your life. But they're not as bright as the sun itself. They're merely reminders, reflections of what God has already done for you in the past. And if he's done it for you in the past, he will continue to do it for you in the future. And I think that's why the psalmist moves on to the next category. Not only do we have some psalms on creation, we now have some psalms of deliverance, six verses of deliverance. It says, to him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his mercy endures forever. Not only has God favored us with the creation of the world, but also a nation through which salvation would come. Israel went down into Egypt, a relatively small number, 75 in all, it tells us. And they came out a great nation because of God's dealing with them in mercy. God had to deal a blow of justice to Pharaoh. But in dealing that blow to him, he dealt mercy to his nation. It's often hard to understand the working of God. But God had a plan, and that plan was to bring salvation to us. God had chosen this nation of Israel in which to work the plan. For he had given a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he would not go back on his word. God keeps his promises. That's why he takes us through these verses of deliverance to remind us God keeps his promise. The next verse says, and brought out Israel from among them. And the people said, his mercy endures forever. You know, these folks may have been scattered all out through Egypt in their slavery assignments. Some are hauling stones, some are making bricks, some are doing, the pyramids were built on the backs of slavery, on the backs of Israeli ingenuity. We find that they were just, the Egyptians were relentless in their merciless treatment of God's people. For some, in all honesty, they never saw the promise of fulfillment. They never saw the delivery. They were born in Egypt. They died in Egypt. They hadn't yet seen the promise of deliverance, of freedom from Egypt. But God had not forgotten his promise to them. You know, we may not always understand why God has put the burden on us, put us through the trials that we have, caused us to endure the testings that we have gone through. But it's like the old hymn, we'll understand it better by and by. His mercy will see us through. And each of the day's problems, his mercy will see us through to tomorrow's opportunities. God is faithful and true. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, the people said, his mercy. Don't get tired on me now. Don't get tired on me. God did something very visible in Egypt when he wanted to deliver his people. God wasn't some mamby-pamby trying to hide here in the back and make Egypt think that this was just happenstance, that it was just a long shot that the nation of Israel would ever be released from slavery. God raised his arm and he said to Pharaoh, let me show you who is king. Let me show you who is boss. And with that, God raised a strong arm and he delivered the nation of Israel through all the plagues that Egypt endured. Pharaoh, time after time, hardened his heart. He decided, I'm not going to let them go. The verse of all the plagues that happened, I'll tell you the one verse that just amazes me. Moses has called up frogs from all the waters. So now the land of Egypt is covered in frogs. Every place you step, there is a frog. Every place you sit, there's a frog. Every place you lie down, there's a frog. Try to cover up, guess what's under the covers? Frogs. You know what's jumping up on the dining room table? Frogs. Everywhere. So much so that Pharaoh said to his helpers, you go fetch that Moses and tell him to come on up here right now and get rid of these frogs. And Moses went up just as he was commanded by Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, pray to your God that he gets rid of these frogs for us. And Moses said, fine, when would you like for me to pray for you? You know what his response was? Tomorrow. If I want deliverance from frogs, yeah, please, thank you, now. Why do I want to wait till tomorrow? You know why he wanted to wait till tomorrow? To see if his magicians could pull off another miracle and save Egypt from the frogs. To see if something would happen, that all these frogs, by some miracle, would be gone of his own God's making. And you know what? His God failed. It wasn't until Moses prayed that the frogs died. And then it stunk. It was the mighty hand of God that he wanted to display his work. In my trip to Israel a few years ago, there was a young man at the Wailing Wall, a devout Jew, head covered, praying. Praying to his God for deliverance, for freedom. But on the back of his t-shirt, he had this saying, RPG-22, rocket-propelled grenade. He believed that the salvation would come through Israel's own military ingenuity. I want to let you know something. God will lead with a strong arm again. And when Israel is free, the world will not deny anything, that it was anything other than God's hand in freeing them. God's hand led them. Therefore, he came back with a strong arm, because his mercy endures forever. The son to rule, I've already done that. This is what happens when you get all confused in your paperwork, all right? To him who divided the Red Sea into parts. Listen, you were confused, I was confused, that was just the whole thing, all right? But let's try that again. To him who divided the Red Sea into parts. Okay, do you believe in miracles today? I believe God can do whatever God wants to do. Anything that takes place in this world today is done so that it pleases God. Just as the Israelites didn't know how God was going to work for them, you may not know how God's going to work for you either. But know this. The answer to your problem will come not by slick counsel from some TV talk show host or some self-improvement book that you'd pick up in the library or the bookstore, or by your own careful skill or manipulation. God will provide an answer so that you will know for certain that it came from God. You know how I know that works? Have you ever prayed to God on a given situation, and you gave God directions on how that situation should work out? You know what I'm talking about? Oh, Lord, let this and that happen. And Lord, if you could just do this for that person and do that for this other person, this whole thing would just really come together. You ever prayed that kind of prayer, you know, around God? Sure you have. When you pray before God and he answers your prayer, when God answers, God almost never answers any of my prayers the way I want them answered. When he answers them in the way that brings him glory, that brings him honor. Next verse. But he swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. His mercy endures forever. You're aware of where the phrase, aren't you? When it rains, it pours. You know, and then the thunder clouds form and the lightning flashes. The winds blow and everything around you just seems so threatening. So it was on the days on the shores of the Red Sea. The Israelites believed they were trapped. Pharaoh said, I got them just where I want them. There's no escape now. But God, at just the right moment when all hope seemed gone, God came through. Don't give up on God, because he hasn't given up on you. His mercy endures forever. Then you have six verses on endurance. And I'll just need to really fly through them. To him who led his people through the wilderness. Ready? His mercy endures forever. Know one thing. God led you into the wilderness. God will lead you in the wilderness. Do you find yourself going through difficulties today? Don't fret about them. God has led you there. God will see you through. Keep firm your trust in God, because his mercy endures forever. And killing, who struck down great kings? It says next, because his mercy endures forever. You know, just when you think you're home scot-free, the enemy wants to pop up its head, doesn't it? I remember great days of ministry. Great days. We've walked away from this church after having great services, haven't we? Absolutely. And then you wake up Monday morning and it just hits you all in the face. That happened for one of our members just recently. I was talking about transition. She gave me testimony just this week. You know, you talked about transition, and that next day my boss came in and changed my job. Transition. How did you respond? How do you do it? Thank God she acted in a professional way and gave glory to God for whatever takes place in her job. And God's answered her prayer accordingly. So just as soon as you think you've passed conquered the situation, it wants to rear its ugly head, and God's going to put it to the test. Not only did he strike down great kings, but he killed mighty kings. His mercy endures forever. You know, where is the strength in those things that would oppose us? Where is the fame, and who remembers them? Who's causing us all the problem? God works in wonderful ways to protect his children. Remember this, once you've gone through a battle, once you've gone through an ordeal, once you've gone through a really difficult situation, you kind of look back and say, you know what, it wasn't that bad. Or you look back and you say, you know what, I survived. God is faithful. Sihon, king of the Amorites, his mercy endures forever. Sihon had a great reputation for defeating the Moabites, yet when he resisted God, God was victorious through the Israelites. And Og, the king of Bashan, his mercy endures forever. Og was the king of the last race of the giants in the land. And I know that some of you face giants every day. But I know a giant slayer. Just ask King David. Just read the book. Just listen to those who've gone through some of the things that you're going through. And I tell you, there isn't one thing that you are going through today that someone else in this audience hasn't gone through. You're not alone. You are not unique. You are all facing difficulties. And you've come out on the other end very good or very wounded. God is not meant for you to be wounded. He's meant for you to put your trust in him. God gave their land as an inheritance, and the people said, his mercy endures forever. God takes away from evil men, and he gives to those who are righteous. Names and reputations of these men have been long forgotten, but the name of the Lord is now remembered. Who's done you bad? Who's done you harm? Who's done you wrong? Their names will be forgotten, but you'll always remember God's. Two verses of personal gratitude. To the one who remembered us in our low estate, the people said, his mercy endures forever. God remembered that we were but human, that we were frail, that we could not enter heaven on our own, so he made a provision. He freed us from our enemies, the scriptures say, and his people said, his mercy endures forever. I want to let you know this morning, if you're still battling with sin, if you're still battling with doubt, God has a way of deliverance for you. It is sure, it is sweet. One verse of God's providence. Who gives food to every creature, and the people said, his mercy endures forever. We're fed today because of the good grace of God. Do you have food in your cupboard? Yep. Anyone not have food in your cupboard today? See, everyone has food. That is a grace of God. You and I went out and had to work very hard. We had to think, how do we earn money? How do we get this food? You know what happens to the birds every morning when they get up? They just said, well, let's get up and eat. And God provides for them food every day to eat. They don't have to work for it. They just have to go out and gather it. He gives food to every creature. And one verse of continual praise. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. Folks, can I tell you something that you may not know? God's mercy endures forever. Therefore, we live our lives in a continual praise for what God does for us. I wanted to preach this message today because I think that the message is so important for those who are renewing their vows today. And for those of you who are married, even though you're not renewing your vows, here's the one thing that you want to remember. What you promised years ago is still valid today. God has not released you from it, and it's important that you keep your word to be a person of integrity, that you be a person who God can trust with whatever he puts your way. And so I'm grateful today that we have people who will keep their word. I am grateful today that God has given me a great wife. God has given me when I married Becky, I married up in the world. People love her. I'm going to say as much as they love me, but I think that you love her a little bit more. You love her hugs. And you just love who she is, and you love her mannerism. And that is only a glimpse of what she displays at the house every day and on the job every day. For 38 years, I've been married to that woman. I love her more today than I did the first time. You see, when I was married to her back 38 years. It'll be 39 this year. Let me just be flat out honest with you. When I married Becky 38 years ago, it was lust. Can a pastor confess to lust? Yeah, she was beautiful, absolutely. I loved her, but she was good looking. I didn't think that anyone would ever love me. I mean, look at me. But she did. And through the years, she has grown more gracious and more loving to me and to our family. She's born three children, two of which were born during the Valentine season. So we've never had a chance to really share Valentines with each other. So this is kind of my Valentine, okay? Melissa is out there. She had to bring the kids in here, and she's gonna bring a special gift. Bring that gift up here for your mom, would you please, Melissa? Okay. And Becky, would you come on up here? Oh, it's not big. It's not jewelry or anything. It's just... Did you see how she stumbled with no jewelry? My wife gave me two Valentines with the birth of our son David, who is not here today with us, but and born on February 14th. Today is David's birthday. Melissa happened next in August, but it was during the month of June where we would have conceived her, okay, or month of February when we could have conceived her. So it was good, I think. I had November. I remember now, okay. And then the next Valentine's gift that she gave me was Aaron on the 13th of February. And so I'm grateful for what she is to my life. And I love her, and I would marry you all over again, even though I'm not renewing my vows to you today. I'd marry you all over again. I love you. I'm going to ask all those who are renewing their vows, if you would, step out in the lobby for you. We want to make sure, if you would, just go right out in the lobby, and we're going to get some things set in here. And if you folks would just bear with us for another few moments as these folks renew their vows and get all set up out there, and Becky's going to help them do that. got photographers and flowers and everything. This is good stuff. I know you wish you were doing this, don't you? No. Some people say, ask if Becky and I were going to renew our vows. I said, no, I meant them pretty much the first time. It's some of you are picking up on the thing, pretty much. I know that's what you're picking up on. It was back in January, on the first day of January, when I first... I've never been asked to do a vow renewal service, but I was asked to do one for Steve and Linda, and I was very, very happy to do that. And so we came over here on a New Year's Day in the afternoon, and we repeated their vows, and I said, wow, you know, Valentine's Day comes on Sunday this year. It won't happen this way for another 6 years, okay? But it falls on Sunday. I said, wouldn't it be nice just to renew vows for people? And I say, I don't even know who wants to do that. But it was good that we had a number of couples want to do that. And so they have chosen to do that. And as soon as Becky can get them organized to come down the aisle, we're going to be playing some music, and they can be coming on down the aisle. Okay? Are you ready, Becky? Pardon? Well, there should be 8 bouquets. That, huh? We're waiting. Okay. Now, there's only 3. Remember, I told they're wrapped in. There are 3. I see a woman holding 6. Take off the foam on the bottom, and that doubles. Thank you. Okay. Our first candidate is Mike. Oh, I'm sorry, Mike, you're not even married yet. For which mom is very glad. Well, I'm glad you're not married yet. All right. Very good.
Okay.
You ready there, dear?
Okay, you can head down.
Okay. Yeah, Tom, cue the music. Go ahead, Becky.
Okay, we have Mr. and Mrs. Don and Dot Lindsay. They were married on September 9th, 1967, and this year they will celebrate their 43rd wedding anniversary. We have Mr. and Mrs. Ernie and Linda Grover, and they were married on May 7th, 1989, and this year they celebrate their 21st wedding anniversary. We have Jim and Ann Wayne. They were married on July 18, 1981, and this year they will celebrate their 29th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
We have Mr. and Mrs. Jerry and Judy Wells. They were married on February 23, 1985. And this year, they will celebrate their 25th wedding anniversary. We have Mr. and Mrs. David and Sherry McIntosh. They were married on February 14, 1988. And today, they celebrate their 22nd wedding anniversary.
Yay, anniversary today.
We have Mr. and Mrs. Craig and Dottie Carlson. They were married on June 25th, 1977, and this year they will celebrate their 34th wedding anniversary. We have Mr. and Mrs. Benny and Irene Sharp. They were married on October 16, 1960, and this year, believe it or not, they'll celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary.
Whoa, 50. They need a hand, don't you think? 50 yeah. Years, all right.
And we have Mr. and Mrs. Ron and Esther Scott. And they were married on February 14, 1999. And today, they celebrate their 11th year anniversary.
Ron, you look happy up there, man. Yeah, step over here so everyone can see it. Come on, Benny, Irene. Come on. Right over, so you can go ahead and stand in front of that. That's good. Okay? You take the music down. We're here assembled in the presence of God to witness the renewal of the wedding vows taken by these couples when they were first united in holy marriage. God is always pleased when we rededicate our lives and our homes in an act of worship. The Bible teaches that marriage is to be a permanent relationship with one man and one woman, freely and totally committed to each other as companions for life. Our Lord declared that man should leave his father and mother and unite with his wife in the building of a home. The home is built upon love, which virtue is best portrayed in the 13th chapter of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. It says, love is patient, love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. So faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Marriage is a companionship which involves mutual commitment and responsibility. You will share alike in the responsibilities and the joys of life. When companions share a sorrow, that sorrow is halved. And when they share a joy, that joy is doubled. I exhort you to dedicate your home to your Creator. Take His word, the Bible, for your guide. Give loyal devotion to the church, thus uniting the mutual strength of these two most important institutions, living your lives as His willing servants, and true happiness will be your temporal and eternal reward. Now, couples, if you would, turn, face each other, hold your spouse's hand as best you can, and just answer, I will, to the following questions, will you? Do you now promise to renew the vows which you made when you were first united in marriage? And the answer is? Gentlemen, you promised to take the lady whose hand you hold now as your wife years ago. You committed yourself to her happiness and to her self-fulfillment in God's kingdom. And you promised to love, honor, trust, and serve her in sickness and in health, in adversity and prosperity, and to be true and loyal to her so long as you both shall live. Is that your same commitment today? That's good. Ladies, did all of you say that? Okay. Ladies, you promised to take this, the man whose hand you hold, as your husband, and to commit yourself to his happiness and self-fulfillment as a person, and to his usefulness in God's kingdom. And you promise to love, honor, trust, and serve him in sickness and in health, in adversity and prosperity, and to be true and loyal to him so long as you both shall live. Is this your same commitment today. If it is, please say, I will. Now, do you promise to continue to keep the vows that you have committed to even this day and the day on your wedding? If you do, say, I will. Do you promise to continue to cultivate your love for each other by discipline, understanding, truthfulness, compassion, thoughtfulness, patience, and mutual consideration? If it is, please say, I will. And do you promise to endeavor to create a Christian environment in your home and to help each other to live godly lives in Christian service? If it is, please say, I will. Our Father, you have seen the commitment of these couples standing before you today, as well as these families sitting in the seats here. Each of us at one point or another has promised to fulfill the vows to our spouse. I'm grateful that these have renewed it publicly because they serve as an example of what we ought to be. And so for this we give you thanks. And for these families, may your blessing rest on them for their decision today to be made public. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may now kiss your husband and wife. Absolutely. This is a great picture, don't you think? This is good. And this really concludes. They're going to stay here for just a moment, and Halston's going to grab some more pictures with them if they want, and then we're going to eat. So you can just go ahead and eat. So I'll tell you what we'll do. Food is probably already set up down there for you, ready to go. Let me dismiss you in prayer and ask God's blessing on this. Would you stand? And let's ask God's blessing on the food and our dismissal today. Father, we give you thanks for Jesus, who is our Savior, and ask that you would dismiss us in your strength and with your blessing. You have provided for us a great meal today, and for those who can stay to enjoy it, we just pray for the fellowship that it be good and sweet. And for those who can't, we understand and we pray your blessing on them. So we pray that you now would help us bless you as we go about our business this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you are